Well, we're reading from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 13. 2 Kings, chapter 13, beginning at verse 15. I'm going to do a little bit of reading, not a huge amount, but a little bit of reading. 2 Kings, chapter 13, beginning at verse 15. And Elisha said unto him, speaking about the king, Joash, the king of Israel. Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. Now, it's very important that you listen to everything that's being said, because everything that is being said is important. He said unto the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he, Elisha, put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot, and he shot. And he said, Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek, till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him, or angry, and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times, then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I want to speak to you tonight for just a little bit on the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this service tonight. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you most of all for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God, for it is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I ask you tonight, Lord, to let that holy anointing rest upon us tonight as we read, study, and grow in your word. Let your anointing destroy every yoke of bondage, I pray. Strengthen your people, Lord. Encourage and empower them. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Everybody say, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. How many could use some deliverance? Now, I'm not, maybe not talking about a habit or an addiction or a drug or something. Sometimes you just need God to show up in your life and get you out of something. Get you out of something, hallelujah. Or get something out of you. Or get something out of your way. We just need God to show up. We need deliverance in some area of our lives. And this Bible, the word that I'm sharing with you tonight, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance, is speaking of the word of God. The arrow of God's deliverance is the word of God. The word of God is the instrument of deliverance. The word of God is the instrument of healing. The word of God is the power of God to deliver us and set us free. Psalms 107 and 20 says, he sent his word and healed them. He sent his word, just like an arrow being shot out. He sent his word and healed them. And delivered them. What am I talking about tonight? The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. He shot out his word and he delivered them from all their destruction. David said in Psalms 119, thy word has quickened me. Jesus said in John 6 and 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. If you want to see the arrow of God's deliverance,
Just look at Ezekiel chapter 37 and look into that valley of dry bones and see the hopeless condition and see that valley of dry bones and all that emptiness and death and desolation and brokenness. But in that into that valley of dry bones comes the arrow of the Lord's deliverance when the man of God begins to prophesy and he begins to speak the word of God. And by the power of the word of God, that valley of death and destruction becomes a mighty army filled with the power of God, made whole and complete by the power of His Word. Oh, I'm talking about the arrow of the Lord's deliverance tonight. And I said all of that to say this: our country, our nation, our cities and towns are in a bad condition, and all the programs in the world won't fix what's wrong with us. The only hope for America, oh hallelujah, the only hope for America and for the world is the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. It's for the arrow of the Lord's deliverance to hit us. In other words, we must have a head-on collision with the Word of God and with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh hallelujah. Somebody say the arrow.
The arrow
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Deliverance. Deliverance. Now let me tell you tonight, I don't want to make anybody mad. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I'm going to ask you a question. Why do you think there are so many different translations of the Word of God today? Some of them are not even translations. They're just paraphrased editions. Why do we need 15 different translations of the Bible? Why do we need paraphrased editions of the Bible? Let me just submit to you. I believe one of the reasons is because the devil knows that by providing so many different options, he can sway people off the true foundation of the Word of God.
Oh, that's good.
Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. I know King James is not the Holy Spirit. I know that he's not the Holy Spirit. He's not the deified one. I know that. But it is the closest to the original manuscript that we have. We need to cherish the Word of God like never before. We need to treat it like precious jewels. We need to eat it like filet mignon. Our victory is the Word of God. Our healing is in the Word of God. Our deliverance is in the Word of God. Our prosperity is in the Word of God. Our miracle is in the Word of God. Your breakthrough is in the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In the time when our pulpits should be saturating our congregations with the Word of God, there's less and less Word of God and more ideas and philosophies and opinions of man than ever before. There's more fat than meat and more sugar than substance. And I've got to tell you tonight, God is going to hold preachers responsible for it. God is going to hold us responsible for not feeding the flock of God.
Amen.
Somebody say, preach the word.
Preach the word.
The arrow of the Lord's deliverance. Let's go a little deeper. Let's talk about the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. This arrow speaks of prophetic intention. Everybody say, prophetic,
prophetic
intention.
Intention.
Prophetic intention. That's what this arrow was in the scripture that I read to you. It was symbolic of the Word of God that declared what God's plan was. Remember what he said? Let me read it to you. He said, open the window eastward and shoot. Then Elisha said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. In other words, he wasn't just shooting into the air for practice, but there was a... Oh, hallelujah. Everybody say prophetic.
Prophetic.
Purpose.
Purpose.
There was an intention in what he was doing. That's what this arrow was. It was symbolic of the word of God that declared what God's plan was. Can I tell you something, friend? God has a plan.
Yeah.
I don't care what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like. God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a destiny for every one of us. Number one, there's a corporate destiny. That's the same for every one of us in the body of Christ. That's to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and to be His witnesses. Oh, hallelujah. Then there's the individual destiny that deals with the call of God, the ministry, the work of God, the position, the anointing of God to fulfill the specific call on your life. Just as we all share a corporate destiny, we all have a personal destiny. Somebody say personal destiny.
Personal.
Say,
I have
a personal,
destiny.
Now, this personal destiny, this is one of the most dynamic things I ever learned. There are so many people in the body of Christ who do not know that they have a destiny.
Yeah, true.
They think when you talk about destiny, you're talking about destination. And they think when you say destiny, you're talking about heaven. Friend, I'm not talking about heaven. I'm talking about God's divine purpose and His divine intention for you in this life before you get to heaven. I'm talking about what God has ordained for you to do before you were ever born. Just like the Bible said about Jeremiah. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. Just like God ordained Jeremiah, God has a divine purpose and a divine intention and a divine destiny for every single member of the body of Christ. No one is here just to take up space. Everybody say personal destiny. Now, having said that, let me tell you, this personal destiny requires prophetic vision. It requires the presence of God in your life and the anointing of God upon your life. Then it goes to another level. Everybody say another level. Say, let's go deeper. There is a destiny. There is a prophetic intention. That's God's purpose, God's divine plan. In other words, let me say, a spiritual blueprint for every assignment of your life. Before I got here, I was operating in a different assignment. When I was evangelizing, I was operating in a different assignment. I was operating in a different dimension. It was part of my destiny, but it was not all of my destiny. Hallelujah. And since I've come here, I'm in another assignment. In this new assignment, there is a blueprint for this assignment.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Listen, just as the prophet, watch this. Remember, he told the king, he said, put your hands upon the bow. And so the king took the bow. But see, the prophet understood something. The prophet had vision. The prophet understood the purpose of God. And the prophet, the man of God, put his hands on top. Oh, hallelujah. He put his hands on top of the hands of the king. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. See, just as the prophet put his hands on top of the king's hands, we must have the prophetic vision, we must have direction, we must have God's presence, and we must have God's power for every assignment in life. Somebody say prophetic vision. Say divine destiny. I don't want you to miss this. Here's the king. And you think in a natural sense, he's got the highest position in the country. And he's got his hands on the bow. And Elisha puts his hands on top. Why? Because I don't care how high you are, if you don't have God's vision, if you don't have God's prophetic vision, if you don't have God's blueprint, and you don't have God's you don't have God's presence, and you don't have God's power. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and praise Him for vision and power tonight. Lift your hands and praise Him for vision and presence and power. Lord, I thank You tonight for prophetic vision, for prophetic vision, for presence and power. Hallelujah. See, when you talk about the prophet, you're always talking about vision. Divine vision, divine direction, the presence and the power of God. The prophet instructs the king to take bow and arrows. In other words, we could say that the bow and arrows represent tools, they represent equipment, they represent training, they represent schooling or talents or natural skills or abilities. And it's important that we use what's available to us, and it's expected that we do our best to qualify ourselves for what we believe God has called us to do. But then, oh hallelujah, then the prophet put his hands on top of the king's hands. Why is that important? Because the prophet represents the vision, the presence, and the power of God. You see, Joash may be the king. He may have the position, but it's the prophet that brings the vision. It's the prophet that brings the direction and brings the presence and the power of God. When you study the Bible, you will discover that kings had the position, but it was the prophet that had the power. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Shatalabahaya! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Every time the king got ready to do something, the king understood. If he was a godly king, that king had sense enough to know, I need the prophet. And the king would say, is there a prophet? Oh. Is there a prophet whereby we may consult God? Is there a prophet? Is there a man of God that walks with God, that talks with God, that has an ear to God? Oh, hallelujah. That's in tune with heaven so we can get God's mind on this situation. Is there a prophet? Because the prophet represents the vision, the guidance, the presence, the power of God. Position without vision and direction, without presence and power, is nothing. All through the Bible, you'll find out it was the prophets that gave the kings direction and brought presence and power. What does that mean to me? What does it mean to you? Here's what it means. It doesn't matter how good our tools are. It doesn't matter how educated or talented we are. Without a vision, the Bible says, the people perish. We have to get the prophetic. It's the prophetic that gives power to the position. That right there was worth the whole message right there. That right there was worth the whole message right there. It's worth all the time you sat there tonight. It's the prophetic that gives power to the position. Prophetic, not pathetic. Prophetic. It's the prophetic anointing that gives spiritual sight and makes our work effective. Hallelujah. When the king shot the arrow out of the window, it was symbolically a prophecy concerning God's will for the king and his total victory over Syria. Did you read it?
Yes.
Let's read it again. He went back. He said, open the window eastward and open it. Then Elisha said, shoot! And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Syrians in Ephek till thou have consumed them. What's he saying? That arrow was symbolic of God's prophetic intention and his divine purpose for that king, that king would smite the Syrians until they were consumed. Woo! Hallelujah! Total victory. How many want total victory in your life? How many want complete victory? Not just a little bit. See, some of us, we don't have enough faith to believe that we can actually have total victory. But it's all through the Bible. I want you to you know God wants to give you complete victory in your life. Just because you have a prophecy. Now notice, when the king shot the arrow out of the window, it was symbolically a prophecy concerning God's will for the king and his victory over Syria. But just because you have a prophecy or a word over your life, let me ask you something. How many can honestly say in this house that you have had a man or a woman of God, somebody prophesy over you a word that you know is from God? Let me see your hand. A word that you know is from God. A word that you know is from God. Now it doesn't have to come that way. It can come just from reading the Bible. And God will speak to you. But I thank God tonight for the prophets in my life. I thank God for the men and women of God that spoke with prophetic authority and prophetic vision and saw things about my life that I didn't see. And saw things ahead in my life that gave me direction and gave me guidance and helped me navigate through some very hard, difficult places in my life. The Bible says that we war a good warfare by the prophecies that have went before on us. What does that mean? That means sometimes I'll get in situations where the devil will challenge what God has said about me. The devil will challenge my forward motion. And when he does that and he tries to tell me that it's not going to happen, I go back there and I get those prophecies. And I get those prophecies and I start reading those prophecies. And I say, devil, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord told me. And the Bible says that by those prophecies, I wore a good warfare. Oh, hallelujah. So I go back and I get my word and I pull that word out and I start fighting with that word. And I say, devil, you're a liar. This is what God told me. I can't die yet. I got a prophecy over my life. I can't go yet. There's stuff I ain't done yet. I got to fulfill that prophecy. I got to fulfill that word. God gave me a word. I can't go yet. I just got started. I got a word. Come on, look at somebody. Tell them I got a word. Hallelujah. Tell the devil. Say, devil, you can't kill me. I got a word. Now, when the king shot the arrow out of the window, it was symbolically a prophecy concerning God's will for the king and his victory over Syria. But just because you have a prophecy or a word over your life doesn't mean it's just going to happen. Number one, you have to believe the word. The Bible says, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Believe his word, so shall you be established. Believe. You have to believe the word. Number two. Everybody say number one.
Number one.
Believe.
Believe.
Number two.
Personalize.
It don't matter. You can hear the word preached and you can say, I believe that's the word of God. I believe that's the word. But if you don't personalize it, it doesn't do anything for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Number three, you have to cooperate. If I say cooperate with the word. And number four, finally, you have to work the word. Somebody say, work the word. Friend, listen, God may have given you a great word about divine healing and health, but if you don't eat right and exercise, I don't care who prophesied over you or how powerful that prophecy was, if you don't work the word, it won't come to pass. God may have given you a great word about restored relationships, but if you're not willing to take the first step, it'll never happen. You may have a word that God is going to bless you and prosper you and multiply you and use you to bless others financially. But if you're not a tither, let me just park right there for a minute. Everybody say tither.
Tither.
Not a sporadic giver, but a tither. Now listen, friend. Offering is not tithe. Tithe is first fruits. It's 10% off the top. It's a dime of every dollar. Just to make it real simple. It's a dime of every dollar. It's
$10
of every hundred. $100 of every thousand. Now, isn't God smart? Isn't God nice? Isn't God wonderful? He didn't say, you have to give this big amount, and this person over here just gets this amount, and they just give a little bit, and this one over here, you have to give a lot. No, it's 10% for whoever you are, however much you have. It's 10%. And listen, first of all, somebody said, well, I don't believe we're under that law anymore. Friend, this is more than a law. It is trust. I don't tithe just because it's a law. I don't tithe just because I'm afraid God's going to make my washing machine break down and my car break down and my lawnmower break down and he's going to get it one way or the other. I tithe because I trust God. Hallelujah. My tithe tells God, I trust you with everything. Somebody said, well, praise God, I give God my tenth, and then that means I can just use the 90% and do whatever I want with it. You missed the whole point. The tithe, the 10% sanctifies the 90%. If I'm faithful with my tithe, that means I'm trusting God to give me wisdom to be a good steward over everything. Hallelujah. Now watch. Everybody say tithe. 10%. It's the same for everyone. And see, you have not biblically sown a seed unless you have tithed first. That's biblical. From a biblical prescription and description, you haven't really sown until you tithed first. And you can't make one take the place of the other. Hello. You say, well, man, why are you talking like that? You just want our money. No, I want you to get blessed. I want you to know what it feels like to be able to put $100 in somebody's hand. I want you to know what it feels like to be able to put a $500 check in somebody's hand. What it feels like to put $1,000 in somebody's hand. I want you to know what it feels like to be a blessing. Not just to be the one that gets blessed, but to be a blessing. I've had people, I can tell you, I've had people put $5 in my hand. When I just started out, I was happy. $5 make, whoa, praise God, $5. A Pentecostal handshake. And then I graduated and somebody put $100 in my hand. I said, whoo, glory to God, that made me feel really good. Hallelujah. And then I graduated. One day somebody put $500 in my hand. I said, glory to God, hallelujah. That was wonderful. And then somebody one day, they said, look, I want to bless you. And they put $1,000 in my hand. I said, my God, this is awesome. But you know what is more awesome than that? It's when God allowed me to be the one to be a blessing. To be the one to put $100 in somebody. To be the one to put $500 in somebody. To be the one to sow $1,000 in somebody's ministry and somebody's life. That's what it's all about. Blessed to be a blessing. And it all starts with tithing. It's a covenant. And when I tithe, he says, I will open the windows of heaven. Now watch, I'm trying to help you. I know it sounds like I'm meddling now, but I'm going to try to help you. He said, I will open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out blessings. There'll not be room to receive it. He said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. But here's the thing. If you don't sow any seed, the devourer has nothing to devour anyway. Because you reap what you sow. And you've got to understand something wonderful about the seed. The seed never just reproduces itself. It always multiplies. Remember he said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold? And then the Bible says something really wonderful. It says, blessed is he that soweth beside many waters. What does that mean? Well, somebody said one time, don't put all your eggs in one basket. I kind of like that. Blessed is he that soweth beside many waters. What is he trying to tell us? He's trying to tell us, spread your seed around. Be a blessing. Because he says, you don't know which one is going to bring the harvest first. You don't know whether it's going to come from that place, or this place, or that place. But here's the beautiful thing. If I've sowed over there, and I've sowed over here, and I've sowed over here, and I've sowed over there, it might come from over there first. It might come from over here. It might come from over there. It might come from over there. But here's what the Bible says. Cast your bread upon the water, and after many days, it'll come back to you. I like that one song that says, and soon it will come back home on every way. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. See, I'm trying to help you get blessed. I'm trying to help you get blessed. I had a word over my life about prosperity. Man, God spoke to me. God spoke about prosperity. I said, God, that's awesome. Praise God. I'm going to be prosperous. But you know what? I found out something. There is a principle to prosperity. And I found out I had to believe the word. I had to personalize the word. I had to cooperate with the word. I had to work the word. Hallelujah. And I can tell you, it works. It works. I used to go to some churches, I'm going to tell you the truth, and when we get there, I'm talking about when I was evangelist, when we were evangelists, we got there, they get up there and take an offering, they said, praise the Lord, folks. We're going to take an offering tonight. We're going to help these folks. We want to help them buy a hamburger and get enough gas to get out of town. Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that before. Yeah. Get on down the road.
Praise God. And you know what? There was a time when I was happy that they were getting a hamburger.
Get on down the road.
Hallelujah. But there came a time, glory to God, when I worked the word long enough and I saw the thing begin to manifest in my life, that when I got to a church, it didn't matter if they took an offering for me or not. I bought a hamburger before I got there. I'd buy my own hamburger when I left. I put gas in my car. I put gas in my car when I left because I was blessed. Hallelujah. Because I learned how to work the word. Hallelujah. See, the prophecy is God's prophetic intention. That's what God's will is. That's what God's desire is. That's what God's purpose is. But you got to work the word.
Amen.
Everybody say, work the word.
Work the word.
Now, you'll never walk in divine prosperity while ignoring the principles of divine prosperity. You have to work the word. And finally, I'm almost done. Finally, the king. Let me just read it to you so you understand what it says. The arrows that are left, he shot one out, but he's got arrows left in his hand. He said, take these arrows and smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. In other words, the king took those arrows and half-heartedly tapped the ground with those arrows. What does that mean? You will never see the word of God come to pass in your life until it consumes you. Let me say it another way. God will never get excited about doing something for you that you're not excited about.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's amazing how we want God to get excited about something that we're not excited about. We want God to dump us out dump truck loads of blessing, but we want to measure it out to God in the thimble. God will never get excited about doing for you what you're not excited about doing. The king took those arrows and he haphazardly, half-heartedly, passively, indifferently, lukewarmly tapped the ground with those arrows. And the Bible says that the man of God, who represented the heart of God and the mind of God, was wroth, or he was angry at him. And he said to him, "You should have smitten at least 5 or 6 times." He was angry at him. He looked at him and said, "Man, we're talking about delivering. We're talking about the deliverance of Israel. We're talking about the deliverance of a nation. We're talking about you having total victory over your enemies. And it's right there in your hand if you believe the prophet, if you really believe the word, and if you're willing to work the word." And he said, the Bible says that he smote the ground 3 times and stayed. In other words, he went, 1, 2, 3. And the Bible says that the man of God was wroth. You know what that was? The man of God, the prophet of God, was the heart of God and the attitude of God that was angry. He said, "You should have smitten that." In other words, you should have beaten those arrows until they were nothing left but splinters. And you would have consumed your enemies. See, here's what I'm saying, and I'm almost done. The prophecy went forth of total, complete victory. It wasn't a failure on God's part. It wasn't a failure on God's part. It wasn't a shortcoming on God's desire or God's will. The prophetic word went forth, the prophetic intention, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance went forth, declaring what God's perfect will was. But that king did not believe the word enough to work it. And so here's what the prophet said. "You should have smitten at least 5 or 6 times. Then you would have totally consumed your enemies. But now, because you only smote 3 times," he said, "you'll have a short-term victory. But they'll rise up again. But you could have taken them out for good." I don't know about you. I want everything God has for me. And I have learned something. It is never going to be a short on God's side. The arrow of his deliverance has went forth. You say, what is the arrow of his deliverance? I just told you. It's the word. The arrow of his deliverance has went forth and has declared what his will is for you. It's up to you. It's up to me. Will you work that word? If you will work that word, I'm going to tell you something. That word, that prophecy, will never come to pass in your life until it becomes more than a dream and more than a vapor in the night. It must become an obsession. It must be something that you think about day and night, that you think about every waking hour. Salavokuka. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. I feel the Holy Ghost. Shalaboko, Shatalabasata, Hora Kandorabo, Shatabahai, Hora Masatalabo Shekete, Hatalabo Shatai. I don't want to miss anything that he's got for me. I don't want to miss my health. I don't want to miss my healing. I don't want to miss my healing in my relationships. I don't want to miss my deliverance. I don't want to miss my miracle. I don't want to come up short in any area. I want to work the word. I want to believe the word. I want to personalize the word. I want to cooperate with the word. I want to work the word. I want to become excited about the word of God. I want to become passionate about what God is passionate about. I want to be excited about what God is excited about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet tonight and let's praise Him right now. Come on, stand to your feet and tell Him tonight, I'm going to get everything that You promised me. I'm going to get it all, God, because I'm going to beat those arrows until there's nothing but splinters. I'm going to beat that word. I'm going to work that word until it's worn out. I'm going to wear that word out in my life. I'm going to shut the la pata la bahaya. I'm going to shut the la rica la bande. Hello, shut the la bahaya. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to let go. I'm going to work the word. I'm going to work the word because the word always works. I'm going to get excited about what You're excited about, God. I'm going to cooperate with You, God. I'm going to personalize Your word, God. I'm going to get fervent about it. I'm going to get hot. I'm going to get on fire about it, God. I'm not going to be complacent or lukewarm or half-hearted or indifferent. I'm going to let You shine. Oh, some of you, I just feel the Holy Ghost telling me right now that you've got some word that's kind of been laying dormant in your life. It's kind of been laying dormant, and maybe the devil's told you to never come to pass, and there's no way that it could ever happen. But God says you need to get that word out just like those arrows, and you need to take that word and you need to start beating that word, and you need to start working that word tonight, because God said there's new life coming into that word. There's new life coming into that dream. Oh, hallelujah. I feel dreams being quickened tonight. I feel dreams being resurrected right now in the name of Jesus. I feel destinies being stirred right now. I feel God waking up destiny in our hearts tonight. Elah, Pico Rosso Tarabahaya, Handolo Shalalayakaya, Handolo Shalalayakaya. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I thank You. Handolo Shalalayakaya, Handolo Shalalayakaya, Handolo Shalalayakaya. Oh, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Well, I feel it. I feel an anointing coming out. I feel an anointing coming out of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. No more lukewarmness in my house. No more passivity in my house. No more half-heartedness in my house. No more half-heartedness in my house. No more indifference in my house. I'm going for it. I'm going all the way. I'm going for it 100%, 120%. I'm going for it. I'm going to work the word. I'm going to work the word. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank You, God. Thank You, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel God stirring something tonight. Something that's been asleep, God's waking it up. He sends His word, the arrow of His deliverance, but we have to work it. There have been prophecies over this church that I've never heard. Prophecies through the years.
Sister Lola, Brother Jess, and others, and Brother Kent, Sister Judy, I know of her, over the destiny and the plan of God over this church. But can I tell you something? If I come into this church and I just come here and just preach to try to hold a crowd, and that's all I do, I'm never going to see it happen. We have to take that word. We have to go after it. I have to tell God, God, I know there's something you've got for us. I know there's a plan for us for Grover Beach. I know there's a plan for our church, for Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God, and for the surrounding area. And you did not bring me here to retire. Brought me here to work the word.
Amen.
To work the word. Hallelujah. To see signs and wonders and miracles and glory and healing and deliverance. Because that's what God does. Wherever Jesus shows up, that's what he does. He saves, he heals, delivers, he sets the captives free.
Thank you, Lord.
He works miracles and signs and wonders. That's the destiny over this church. We're going to work that word. Hallelujah. I want you to reach over and take somebody's hand tonight. Because inasmuch as it's true that we all have an individual word, this word is over this church. This word is over us as a body of believers. And I want us to come into agreement right now. And let's go ahead and just come on across again and bridge all the gaps and let's just cover every area that we can. Handalabasandaya. Orasarababasaya. Everyone holding a hand. Adlobosandaya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, this word is over this church. It's over us as a body of believers, Lord. It's a word of miracles, a word of signs and wonders, a word of being a lighthouse, Lord, and an outpost, God. A spirit of revival will be in this house, God, as it has been, Lord, but even greater in the days to come, Lord. Father, we thank you tonight, God, that we are helpers of each other's destiny. We are helpers, Lord, of this destiny, this future, for this church, Lord, and for this community, God. God, the miracles of God, the signs, the wonders, the healing, the deliverance, the salvation, God. Lord, and Lord, Rastai, that your glory, Lord, being manifested in this house and from this place, Lord, it shall go forth your glory, Lord, and a stream of rivers, a stream of life, a stream of light, a stream of health, a stream of peace, a stream of joy. Oh, Lord, I thank you for the anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. I thank you, Lord, for the glory of God. I thank you for the destiny, Lord, that you have appointed us, God. Glory. We will see the power of God. We will see the signs and the wonders. We will see the miracles. We will see our prodigals come home. We will see transformation, Lord. We will see this community impacted for the gospel of Jesus Christ and for the kingdom of God. We will see signs and wonders and miracles, Lord, because that's the destiny over this church, Lord. That's the destiny over us, Lord. Over Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God. Hallelujah. I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to agree with me that God's purpose and God's prophetic intention for us will be established right now. That's what I want you to pray with me right now. Agree with me right now that God's prophetic intention and purpose and the arrow of his deliverance will be established for us right now in Jesus' name. Father, as the body of believers, Lord, with unified prayer,
We agree tonight, God, that your prophetic intention and purpose and design and destiny over us will be established, Lord. We agree, Lord, that it will be established, God, that every enemy, Lord, that comes and stands against it will be taken out. Every enemy that resists it will be consumed in the name of Jesus. We will see the will of God. We will see the purpose of God established for Grover Beach Pentecostal Church of God. We will see your prophetic intention established, and we will see it revealed, and we will see it manifested, Lord. Hallelujah. Because we're going to work the word. We're going to work that word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, go ahead and clap your hands. Clap your hands and praise him tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Clap your hands and praise him tonight. God, we believe it shall be. It shall be established. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It shall be established. It shall be established. Shake somebody's hand. Two or three people shake their hand and tell them the arrow of the Lord's deliverance is in this house. Tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. The arrow of the Lord's deliverance is in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, God, for what you've done and what you're doing, Lord. What you're establishing in our lives tonight, God. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. God bless us as we leave this place. Keep your hand upon us, Lord. Give angels charge over us, keeping all of the ways, Lord. Father, be with us in prayer meeting tomorrow. Invade the house with your presence, with your power and your glory. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Let your purpose be established in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Remember Saturday.
Saturday is
the 14th.
Saturday, Santa Maria.
We're going to meet here at
1. At 1 o'clock, we'll meet here and go from here over to Santa Maria to be a blessing to those wonderful people.
You know, I
want to
say something before everybody leaves. I came here almost 5 years ago, and I've been a born-again Christian since I was in the '80s. Anyway, I sat back there, and the Pastor Smith, you know Pastor Smith, I didn't know him. I just came to this church. My son had been here before, but I want to tell you that the prophetic word over me from God back in that seat back there, and I haven't left this church since. And I know I've shared it with other people that are close to me, but I looked up, I lifted up my head, you know, I was praising the Lord, I lifted up my head, and I just seen the army of the Lord here, standing, just standing with the big, just big and tall and strong. That's all I can say.
Yes.
And you know, it was a prophetic thing to me, and I've shared it with other people that I know. But you know, this is what it's going to take in this day of age, because you know, the people that's been here a long time, they know. The older and the younger, we can feel the power.
Yes.
What the God is going to split these guys.
Yes, Lord.
And we need now more than either. We need every second and every minute of prayer.
Yes.
And every one of those things that He put down. I can't make a better what He put it out.
Thank you, Lord.
And I would have never brought this out. I would have told each one of you about it.
Hallelujah.
But it's so true. We need a church that's going to be in the army.
Amen.
There's no room for anything else.
Amen.
Praise God, brother. Thank you.
army of the Lord. God bless you.